Good morning. We want to welcome everyone to our Sunday morning worship service here at Beach Hill. We especially want to welcome the folks on Zoom that are worshiping with us. And we want to welcome our visitors who are here. And you are invited back each and every opportunity you have to worship with us. Tonight, our evening service will begin at 6 o'clock p.m. and our midweek Bible study will be Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. You know, it's an amazing thing about making announcements. I've noticed that we get louder and louder and louder, and then there's silence. So that's when we know it's time to start. So just an observation. We want to announce that Allie Ward graduated from nursing school at the W, formerly known as Mississippi University for Women, on May 7th, 2022, with a Bachelor's of Nursing. So we congratulate her. And we know Mark and his family are extremely proud and excited. But for the rest of the congregation, we are too, because we're getting older and we realize that we have to have nurses. So Allie, we look forward to seeing you not only personally, but professionally, should that occur. We'd like to remind those who are taking part in our worship service this evening, Stacy Simmons will direct the singing, Dan Harrell will have the opening prayer, Don Ward will have our closing prayer. We've got a few announcements. We want to remember the family of Gail Hobson Winter. Our sympathy is expressed to Michael and Sidra, and of course, Ryan and Jenny and all the grandchildren and the brothers, Jimmy Hale and Barry, and their families. They're referred to as the Handsome Brothers now after yesterday, but Jimmy Hale hacked into the obituary and inserted that word, but you had to be here at the funeral to get that. Of course, Gail grew up with us here at Beach Hill, and was the daughter of Mr. James and Miss Johnny Hobson, and her funeral was yesterday, and she'll be sorely missed. So please continue to pray for her family, pray for Tommy and our loss, and the Lord will get us through all of this. We have a note from Miss Emily Simmons. Dear church family, thank you so much for the study Bible and making me feel so special on senior night. Thanks for all the love and support you have given me through the years. Your Christian example means so much. Please continue to pray for me as I begin this new chapter of my life. Love, Emily Simmons. On our sick list, we want to remember Miss Shirley Estes, who's recovering after a fall this past week. She was able to return, and she's staying with her daughter and is feeling better. Samantha Withersby, who is the law clerk for Bob Whitwell, was diagnosed with stage 1 breast cancer and has her surgery that is scheduled on June 9th. We want to remember Tommy Simpson as he returns back to his physicians tomorrow as they review the results of the scans and they get a plan of action for the course of treatment for his situation. So please continue to remember him in prayer and for his doctors. Amanda Simpson is still under the care of a doctor. She's still hospitalized, so please pray for Amanda, Will, and their son, Colton James Simpson, who is making haste in entering this world. So with the anticipated plan is that on Tuesday, the delivery will be induced. So hopefully we will have another Simpson with us on Tuesday. So we look forward to adding Colton James Simpson with us, and please continue to pray for Amanda, Will, and their entire families as we are excited in the addition of another Simpson. Pam Needham is in the Oxford Hospital with a serious infection. She's asked that we remember her in prayer as well. She's in Oxford. There will be a meeting for anybody who wants to help with the Vacation Bible School in front of the auditorium here immediately after worship this morning. So please, after the services conclude, come down to the front and meet with Winston and others as you will receive direction for your assignments in Vacation Bible School. Beach Hill has been asked to bring stuffed animals and baby throws and blankets for our Ukraine mission. This shipment will go out towards the end of May or the 1st of June. So please begin gathering those things and get those to us. There will be an area-wide youth night at Chapman Church of Christ on May 29th. So all of our youth are invited. So please put that on your calendars, May 29th. And of course, our Vacation Bible School is June 12th through the 15th. So please put that on your calendars as well. Our morning men who will be participating will be Paul Ward. We'll have our scripture reading. Our opening prayer will be by Mark Ward. Our closing prayer will be by Ryan Simpson. And King McCarver will have the lesson of the hour. Please take a psalm book as Dustin McMillan leads us in psalm.
Number 652, we'll sing the first and last verses. So number 652.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in mine ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe. It in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. So how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Number 613. Sing the first, second, and last verse of number 613.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Psalm before our script reading and prayer this morning, number 714. Sing the first and last verses, number 714.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow, he's my comfort. In trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Our scripture reading this morning will be coming from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come together this morning and approach thy throne of grace, love, and mercy to bring you our worship and our praise and our thanksgivings to thee this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we gather together and as we sing these songs of praise, that we bring our petitions unto thee, that we read and hear from thy word. In a few moments, we partake of the supper representing the sacrifice that was made for us. And we pray that as we bring our worship to thee this morning, that all these things will be done in a manner that's pleasing in thy sight and acceptable unto thee. Heavenly Father, we have so many reasons to be thankful this morning, so many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. We're so thankful for our families and our friends, so thankful for each and every one that's here this morning, thankful for our homes in which we live and our health that's allowed us to be here. and the freedoms that we enjoy in this country, that we can gather together and worship thee without fear. All these things we're so thankful for. We pray that you'll help us to be mindful of all of our blessings, that we will not take these blessings for granted. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this church that's been planted here at Beach Hill. So thankful for each and every member here this morning. Thankful for our leaders. We pray that you continue to bless and guide them as they lead and guide us here. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for our deacons and our teachers, all those that work in any way in this congregation, song leaders. We just ask you to continue to bless the many works here and those that take part. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for all the many programs that we take part in and that we support here. We're thankful for the Last of Leaders programs, the many different mission works that we're able to be involved in, and we pray that these works will be fruitful and that thy word will be spread and that souls may be saved through these efforts. We're especially mindful, Heavenly Father, of our upcoming Vacation Bible School. We pray that you be with all those who are working so hard to make this a success. We pray that you be with those and through these efforts that are young, may be taught, and that they may be able to learn about you and one day be able to lead and serve thee as adults. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of all those who are sick, homebound, in healthcare facilities, hospitalized, those who are receiving treatments, so many that have been mentioned here this morning and so many others that it's hard to name each one. We're especially mindful of Ms. Shirley Estes, Ms. Weathersby, Dr. Tommy, Pam Needham, others that have been mentioned here this morning. We just ask that you be with them, that you bless those that administering unto them, and if it be thy will, their health be restored. I ask you to keep them all comforted and bless their needs as only you know how. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of all those who are grieving the loss of loved ones at this time. We're especially mindful of the Gail Winter family. We ask that you be with them, that you comfort this family and their close friends. Especially mindful of Barry and his family, Mr. Jim, Michael, and Ryan. We just ask that you be with them and comfort them in the days ahead. Heavenly Father, we're so mindful and thankful of the blessings we have through Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the death, burial, resurrection, and for what this means to each of us as Christians here today. So thankful for the word that we have and instruction and example that we have through him that we have to live our lives, and for the forgiveness of sin that we have through him. And Heavenly Father, we know that we so many times fail thee. We leave things undone we should do, and we do things we shouldn't. We ask you to forgive us of all of our many sins. Heavenly Father, we ask you now to go with us through the remainder of this worship hour. We ask you to help us to worship thee in a manner pleasing unto thee, and that through all these efforts, we may increase our faith and be better Christians. And all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Song before the lesson this morning would be number 531. Sing the first, second, and last verses, number 531.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is trusting, confiding in His great love. From all unsafe, in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of light, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. Living by faith, in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all unsafe, in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no our Lord will return in His glory someday. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all unsafe, in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no
mark in your psalm books, number 456, number 456.
And then you may open your New Testaments to Hebrews chapter 11, the 11th chapter of Hebrews. We welcome you to this service. We've already been well welcomed by Tony and well directed in worship by these men, and we're thankful for that and grateful for your presence, and we're grateful to have very much of Gail's family with us this morning as we worship together. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is a chapter about the life of faith in God. And one of the standout lessons of this chapter, as it presents this sequence of examples of men and women of faith, is that these were people who were determined that their lives would be shaped by faith in God and not by the world around them. And that is a deliberate choice that is made. It's the only way that a person can successfully live by faith in God. He must be determined to do so. And he must constantly be making efforts to see where he's at in life, to examine his choices, the direction of his life, to be sure that he is indeed on that path, the path of faith in God. I want to concentrate upon what this chapter says about Moses, and that was read to you this morning by Paul, verses 24 through 27. That by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, accounting the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the recompense of reward. And by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And you will notice in the preceding verse, verse 23, that Moses' parents come into view. By faith, Moses, but it's not really about Moses there, because when he comes into view in verse 23, he is an infant, and it could not be his faith that is being described. This is his parents. They looked upon this child, and they saw this creature made in the image of God, this beautiful child, and they made a choice by their faith in God. The king of this country wants us to hand over our male infants to be destroyed. We're not going to do that. This is a beautiful child. This is God's creature, a human being, and we have responsibility for this child. And so at risk to themselves and to their family, they did what they could to try to save the life of that child. That's the heritage of faith and the background to Moses. He came into this world in a family of faith in God. And that's a faith that reached all the way back to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, his ancestors, and reached forward all the way toward Christ, because it was a heritage of faith in which a nation of people, at least those who lived by faith in God, understood that we're destined in the purpose of God, not only for our good, but for the good of all the world. As God had said to Abraham, "In your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And that's something that had an influence upon Abraham's mind and the way he conducted his life before God. We have before us then the background of Moses. We have Moses himself and his faith. And then beyond this text, in verses 28 and following, we have the influence of Moses' faith upon a nation and upon the continuing work of God through that nation, and even upon a Canaanite woman and her family in the city of Jericho. Now, your faith in God may not reach that far and that wide in its influence so that it affects a whole nation and generations of people to come, and people in distant places. But it could. You do not know that. You don't know how far your faith may reach and its influence through the people you immediately affect by your life of walking by faith in God. God knows these things, and God knows how you could be a part and fit in with his purpose over a long period of time, God giving us that time. And so what we do now in our lives is what is determinative for our place in the purpose of God. When we study Moses, we find that there are some words that are used about him that tell us of his mind and his actions, his choices, and the direction of his life. And these words are alive. They're active words that help us to understand the heart of Moses. And though there may be many other details about his life, this is a spiritual focus that we see about Moses that's important to us as Christians, because like Moses, we want to be a people whose lives are shaped by faith in God. Notice the first thing that's said about Moses, that when he was grown up, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was grown up. Have you grown up to become a believer in God? Most of us understand now that believing in God is something far more than just believing in the existence of God. Believing in God means to trust in God and to show that trust in God in the way we think, how we speak, how we live, what we do with our lives, and the influence we have upon others. Have you grown up to become a believer in God? Maybe you're not grown up yet. Is it important to you as you grow up to become a believer in God? In this audience this morning, if you're a young person, you are seated among adults, and some of them are people directly related to you. You may be a kinsman of most of the people in this audience, not everybody, but around you are believers in God. Are you growing up to become a believer in God? You have an environment in the church and a heritage of faith. Is it important to you to understand that, to become, like others that you know, a believer in God? Are you a young parent? with the responsibility of bringing up your sons and daughters? Is it your primary purpose with regard to their lives to bring them up to be believers in God? So when Moses was grown up, he is a believer in God because the Bible says by faith when he was grown up. And then we have those words that come to our attention, a series of words. First of all, he refused. He said no to something. He came to make a choice. I will not be identified in this way. Is he showing ingratitude to Pharaoh's house and to Pharaoh's daughter who took him in? Not at all. This is about a spiritual choice. And Moses was saying at that point, I'm not going to be identified in life spiritually as a person who belongs to the ways of Pharaoh's household. He made another choice at the same time. I will be identified with God's people, even if that means suffering, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God. That's how I want to be known as a part of God's people, not giving myself over to the sinful indulgences of things that are passing away, living for the pleasures of sin. And then we read of him that he made a comparison, accounting the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. I've already mentioned how it is that he fits in to God's redemptive person, purpose rather, that reached all the way to the person of Christ. Moses understood this work. He knew the promise God had made to Abraham, and what the nation of Israel was all about in God's purpose, that eventually it would lead to the blessing of all the world through that one who was to come. Someone might look at that and say, well, he did the math, or he weighed the prospects. But I think there's a better way of saying it than using those common expressions. Moses assessed the value. The value on the one hand of the purpose of God, and on the other hand, what the world had to offer. And he made a comparison. And he saw that one was far greater in value than the other. The reproach of Christ. That this one who was coming, that though he be rejected by the authority and by the world of his day, but that's something of great value because it is from God. And what the world may have to offer to me, whether in this day or in that distant day, can never be anywhere close to the value of what God has offered to us in the way of redemption. So he assessed those values and he made a choice. And what he's saying was that what my life will show about what I think most important will be a reflection of living by faith in God. And then it said of him that he looked to the recompense or of reward. He looked to the reward. The writer of this chapter said earlier in the chapter, verse 6, that this is what faith is all about, that causes us to be pleasing to God. We believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek after him. God does not forget them, and the reward will certainly come to their lives who live by faith in him. And Moses looked toward that. He had a vision to see that. It's the belief in God that says God keeps his word. Whenever that comes, and in whatever form it may come, what God has promised, he will do. And that's living by faith in God. And therefore, he forsook Egypt. There are some things in life to be left behind if we live by faith in God. Whatever we must forsake in order that we may go with God and follow Jesus Christ, that's a decision of faith in God. Jesus said, if any person would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16 and verse 24. And we're not through seeing these words about Moses, because we read next that he was forsaking Egypt. He was not afraid of the king, the powerful authority of that country, perhaps the most powerful man in the world at that time. If he's not afraid of him, he's not going to be afraid of others. Those who live by faith in God are not afraid of what people may say about them. They'll not allow the fear of what people will say or how people can hurt them to determine their lives. The way of this world and the power of this world, even the threat and intimidation of this world, will not shape their lives. In chapter 13 of this very letter, writing to Christians who were suffering then, the writer said, be free from the love of money. Don't let that shape the decisions you make in life. And then he went on to say that we can have this courage, this strength from this promise of God. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What shall man do to me? If the Lord is our helper, it really doesn't matter how the world might hurt us or threaten to hurt us, because the reward is with God, the reward that really matters. Not fearing is said of Moses, and we hope that it's said of us too in the way we shape our lives, not afraid of what people may do or say. And it's said of Moses, furthermore, that he endured. The word means to be strong, to hold out, to endure. I'm in for the duration, is what Moses said. And having that purpose for which he would not veer, he was able to endure. This is not speaking about alone what happened in Egypt and the choices he made there and leaving the country. It had to do with all the rest of his life for 40 years in the wilderness in the service of God, with all the difficulties and challenges of that service in dealing with a people who often were different, very much different than Moses in his heart. People who did not believe in God as they ought. And yet having this responsibility from God, Moses endured. How? How did he endure that? By faith in God. And we have times in life where we may have disappointment in people, sometimes people close to us. We may have discouragement because some things that we hope for do not develop as we had hoped they would develop and the purpose of God, as we desired for the lives of people. But will we ourselves endure? Will we show a lack of faith by turning away from God because things didn't go exactly as we wanted it to, that all things didn't fall into place? Or will we, like Moses, be a people who have faith in God and endure? I'm in for the duration. And then one more word about Moses. He endured as seeing that which cannot be seen. He endured by seeing him who is invisible. Paul speaks of the invisible God, and this writer is speaking of the invisible one. And how do you see the invisible one? You do so by faith in God. You see God in every day of life, in every situation, in every opportunity, in every relationship, in every obligation. You see God and what God wills you to be, what choices to make, how to speak, how to treat people, how to fulfill your responsibilities, how to conduct your life in every way, how to honor God. So Moses would live by faith in God. He would see him always, who is invisible. His vision was always turned toward God. When Moses was grown up, he set his life, charted his way on the path of faith in God. And thus he continued in that way. And he finished his life in that way. We've spoken of Moses because this is the example the writer wants us to consider. But is that the only end in view? That we know a spiritual history of Moses? I think we rightly understand that these words are given to us as a matter of guidance to help us in examining our own lives as Christians. But it could be that you have yet to make the decision of faith that sets you on this course. And in this assembly this morning, you could come before these people and express your decision to confess faith in Christ and be baptized in his name, that you may receive new life in him and forgiveness of your sins. If as a child of God, you've not been faithful in this way, is there a better opportunity provided by the grace of God for you to ask this assembly, pray for me. I want to be a faithful Christian. I want to live by faith in God. I want to be in it for the duration. Let us stand and sing together.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us make so haste to its spring. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft, and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you. Soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
Be seated, please. This morning, to focus our hearts and minds on the cross and the sacrifice given there for us, turn to number 92. Sing all four verses of number 9-2.
When my love to Christ grows weak, when for deeper faith I seek, then in thought I go to Garden of Gethsemane. When my love for man grows weak, when for stronger faith I seek, hill of Calvary I go. To thy scenes of fear and woe, there behold his agony suffered on the bitter tree. See his anguish, see his face. Love triumphant still in death, then to life I turn again, learning all the worth of pain.
This morning, as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, I just ask that we reflect and clear our thoughts and prepare our hearts, our minds. Simply think of Jesus Christ and Him crucified for us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for Your Son, Jesus Christ. We're thankful He came to this earth, suffered and bled and died on the cross for our sins. We pray that You would bless this bread, which represents His body that hung on that cross. We pray that we will all take of it and pleasing to You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's pray again. Dear Lord, as we continue in this time of remembrance and thankfulness, we pray that You would bless this fruit of the vine, which represents Jesus' blood shed on the cross. We pray that we will all take of it in a pleasing manner. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for the opportunities that we have while we're here on this earth. We're thankful for the country we live in, the freedoms we have, our health. We pray we have an opportunity to give back to You as You have given to us. We pray that this will be used to spread the gospel, to save souls, and ultimately add in heaven someday. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Kim, we'd like to thank you for being here with us, especially those of you that are visiting. Please come back and be with us at any and every opportunity that you have. We'll meet again here tonight at 6:00 for our Sunday evening worship. If you would, please stand for our closing song.
Also like to thank King for the lesson this morning. We'll sing the first verse, number 108. 108.
My Savior's gone a mansion to prepare in yon fair land. Adorned it will be with jewels, not made with hands. I know, in heaven for me a mansion stands, a home, not made.
God, we're thankful for another day of blessings and another day of being able to be here on this Lord's Day, and assemble in our Bible classes this morning and be taught by our teachers, and then to assemble together as a whole congregation to give You worship. We pray that we have come today and given You our best of our attention, our praise, our honor, and our love. And it's all a reflection of the great love that You've shown to us through Your Son and the blessings that flow to us through Him. We pray for comfort and peace in the days that we have on this earth, and it brings us good times and sadness and successes and failures. We pray that You're with us through it all, and that we keep it in perspective and strive to live the way that we should for You every day, to be a blessing to others because of the words from You are in our hearts and come out in our actions and words. Thank You for the blessings of this day. We pray that all that has been done here has been done in a pleasing way to honor and worship You. Please forgive us. Give us strength to be better and do better as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen.